Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Well.
We're social distancing podcasting.
That's how we do it, Claire. We don't want no dangers, no troubles here.
I don't like it. We're not in the pod studio. We're out in the main room.
That's right. It's so Mason and I can record from like a great distance from each other, so we're not touching each other's faces like we normally do.
Mason,
of course, from my more popular podcast,
Weekly
Planet popular podcast.
Here he goes.
That's right, everybody. It's back. Me talking about my other podcast.
Right, okay. Let's stop with the ramble. This is suggestive. Podcast. We are married. My name is Claire. That guy is sitting right away from me over there, even though we're married and we sleep in the same bed and everything.
And everything. Don't give away too much about
called
private
James,
life.
Otherwise known as Mr. Sunday Poovies.
Wait a minute.
No movies.
You're
jokes.
Lucky you're so far away, Claire.
Yeah, so this is what's going to happen tonight. Yeah. I'm really going to stick it to you.
Yes, yes, yes.
Because you're far away, you can't get me.
It's true. It's very true.
Yeah.
Am I going first or are you going first?
You're going first.
Right. I got a very quick recommendation up top.
Wait, before you say anything, I don't like your face. I don't like what you're about. And I'm sick of you because all we're doing is social isolating and I have to stare at you all the time.
You don't have to stare at nothing. I'm next to a couch.
Yeah, I know. I am staring at nothing. Yeah. You. Ha! Sorry. I'm very pregnant.
First the poo joke and now this.
I know. It's a real low common denominator kind of show tonight.
Well, that's fitting with everything we do every week.
Okay. What's your quick recommendation? Sneak it in.
Today, and this is going to go up on the weekend.
Flip me
probably
one.
probably Sunday. I interviewed Michael Shanks, who people might know behind The Wizards of Oz. He's got a really great stop motion blend live action short film called Rebooted. That's just come out and it's amazing. He also did the Star Wars George Lucas edition, special edition trailer for The Force Awakens, which people probably remember from a few years back because it was a massive deal. Anyway, we talk about.
He also did that. Oh, okay, hang on. I don't want to spoil it.
What's what?
I was going to say the tennis thing, but is that what you're recommending?
No, that's why. No. No, all I'm saying is you should check out his channel, Tim Fed. And also on Sunday, I've got a video version of the interview going up with all the clips of the behind the scenes stuff. And he's process of filmmaking because it's fascinating really the way he got started and the projects that he's worked on, and this is like some high quality stuff that he's done on a really low budget but also made waves in the film industry in a really big way. You're going to be seeing this guy a lot, and I've also got an extended audio edition which I'm going to put on the Weekly Planet feed as well. But anyway, so check that out if you want, and check him out. But that's going to be
Michael Shanks.
That's all Tim Fed. So what I've been watching, though, and I'm only three episodes in, and apparently it's very good. It wraps up very well. It's called Devs. It's from FX and creator Alex Garland. It stars Sonoya Mizuno as Lily and Nick Offerman, who's that name I can obviously say much better, as Forrest. Nick Offerman from Parks and Rec. He's Ron Swanson.
Yes.
She's like a programmer. He's like a Steve Jobs type. And it's from the curator of it's a drama thriller set in the future-ish.
Oh, that's that thing that I watched for a bit and then awful and then I had to go to bed
exactly.
And I had a weird dream.
This guy wrote 28 Days Later, everybody's favourite film, Sunshine, Ex Machina about the robot. Remember the one about the robot?
Yeah.
Annihilation. Did you see Annihilation?
Yes.
That was great too.
I actually did really like Annihilation.
So it's this eight episodes of this new show. It's a one-off thing called Devs. And the story is, and I don't want to get into it too much because of spoilers.
It's very metaphysical.
It's very metaphysical.
Universe-y.
Yeah, it is.
It's very like... makes you feel terrible about everything.
And the music is very upsetting.
Everything that you love.
I know.
Actually, okay, just a side note, before you summarize the plot of this depressing thing that you loved,
yeah.
It was so hilarious because you turned it on and immediately the music, I was like, oh, no.
You're not going to like
And
this.
5 minutes in, you were like, oh, this is an excellent show. Yeah. At the same time that I was internally screaming and going, now my whole world is like turned upside down and I hate this and I feel sad and I had to go to bed with all these visions in my head.
Exactly. It's an excellent show.
Yeah,
you're
but
right.
You love it. So if you like anything up James's alley, which is dark and depressing and twisted and
it's not that dark and depressing. It's so Lily, who's the lead of the show, the lead
Let
character.
Let the listeners be the judge of how depressing this
is. Sure, well, you can do that. That's absolutely fine. Her boyfriend works for this company as well, and he gets moved into a new department called Devs. They're developing something. I'm not going to get into what that is specifically, but as a result of that, something happens to him, and it's kind of Lily investigating what's going on behind him and what they're up to in Devs. And really, like I said, it's a drama thriller about algorithms and like predictions of the future and the past and kind of the tech world and in relation to society, but not only society, because everything's about society, isn't it, in a way?
It's a lot about physics though, right?
Yeah, there's a lot of physics and things like that. Yeah. But you don't need to know anything about physics and maths, obviously, because I fall into that camp to understand it. But it's also about how, you know, how these things are worked into like the government and how the government often wants to step into big tech companies. But also, should they be stepping into big tech companies? Because what are they using that information for in the first place? You know what I mean? Mm. You look at things, what's happened to Facebook and other platforms where they've literally shaped the face of the planet. You know, how information is presented to people. So look, like I said, I am only three of the six or eight. Maybe it is eight. I can't remember. I think it's six. But anyway, it's great. And I can't wait to finish it, but I've got a bunch of editing that I've got to do. And I also have to watch a bunch of stuff for Caravan of Garbage, including the Fantastic Four 2015. But look, that's what's happening, Claire.
Okay.
In my world.
Right.
What's happening in your world?
Well, stop directing the play. This is my show. I'll direct it how I want.
Wait a minute.
I want to stick on this for a minute. One thing I wanted to say, it was really interesting. So I only watched like 20 minutes of it and then I sort of fell asleep. Then I woke up and went to bed because I'm prego. P.S. I have a bowling ball sitting very close to my pelvis / nether regions and it's very uncomfortable.
Mm.
It's like someone punching you repeatedly in the groin.
Claire, if you wanted to
start. That is what pregnancy is like.
If you wanted to.
Bullshit
want to
about
start
the glowing
thing. A
separate thing.
Podcast about how you just complain about this beautiful event. That's absolutely fine.
Yes.
But for me, Claire, I respect nature and the privilege of parenthood. And you come in here with your negativity about parenthood, and quite frankly, I'm not having it.
Parenthood, schmarenthood. I'll punch you in the groin and you see how you like
it. Not from there, you won't.
Internally. You got a bloody gallbladder removed and I had to hear about it for forever.
No, that's
in fact, during the operation afterwards, you looked at me and you were like, oh my, because the gallbladder, how big is it? It's what, about the size of like a peach? Maybe.
No, honestly, that didn't show me.
Like a small pear?
Sure.
You looked at me and you were like, you had a baby removed. How did you do this?
I was fine. I was up on
like
my feet
minor
in no time.
Surgery,
I had a cane and I was hobbling around.
Yeah, you did. You bought himself a cane.
I was like, I am not lying down for
he
a
legitimately
for a
bought himself a cane.
They told me to do. But
this
I was
is
like,
a man who owns a cane
and, they were like,
and a baseball bat.
They were like, take these Oxycontins. And I do. And I was like, I don't take Oxycontins. And then I took one and I'm like, these are actually a real head fuck. I'm actually not going to take these. Anyway, let's not talk about how brave I am.
No.
What were you saying?
Lord. Anyway, all I'm saying is it's very hard to concentrate with someone punching you in the groin
on
a regular basis. I keep getting woken up every 5 minutes with reflux and then a punch to the groin.
Mm.
I mean, look, I'm sure I'm going to love the baby very much and I'm very lucky and I know it's a privilege and a joy. But also, this end of the pregnancy sucks.
Agreed.
That's all I wanted to say. Good night, good afternoon, good evening, and good night.
I appreciate the wonders of it. But anyway, go on.
All right. All I wanted to say was it's kind of interesting seeing the actor who plays Ron Swanson from Parks and Rec in that scary show you were talking about playing like quite a serious character.
Yes.
Yeah, and he does really well.
He's a great actor.
He's a great actor.
He's not just in Parks and Rec. He's in many things. He's in the movie Sin City.
He has to be one of my favorite characters.
He's terrific. That's a great show.
It's a great
all the way
moustache,
to the end.
Too.
It is. All the way to the end, that show is consistent.
Do you know the only other moustache that rivals his moustache is
Tom Selleck's
moustache? Yes.
Everybody knows that, Claire.
That's all I wanted to say.
I'm going to raise you another moustache. You ready?
Here he goes. Yeah. Moustacho man.
I don't actually have one. I was trying to think of one. I couldn't. I was like, I was going to name some people that we know. And then I'm like, that doesn't play well for a larger audience.
No, it really doesn't. Yeah. Well, this was a great and enlightening episode.
I once grew a horseshoe.
Are you supposed to be quite witty and funny? Because that was
not this
the
time
real
enough.
Drop of
Mason's
the ball.
Mason's the witty funny one. I keep the ship running here.
The shit running or the ship running?
All of it.
I would say the shit because it's a Bad show.
Anyway, do you have a recommendation or
sorry,
you just want to complain?
Yes, I know. Okay. Oh, God, I'm just so uncomfortable. Okay, so my first recommendation is a 6-part mystery thriller series. Ooh, it was the most requested new show.
I love how you do your own hype. Ooh, interesting. Ooh, sounds good.
Someone's going to be interested in what I'm saying. Ooh.
I think if you're at home and you're interested, you should help. You should help out and be like, ooh, just do it out loud.
Please.
Hey, that sounds great.
My intro.
No, sorry.
Anyway, so it was the most requested new show in 2019 on the BBC iPlayer with over 20 million requests for the series one. So there you go. It's a popular BBC series. As most of you know, I bloody love a murder mystery thriller series from the BBC.
You branch quality. Out more, Claire.
This one is great, though. It's really interesting. It follows Sean Emery, a British soldier convicted of committing murder in Afghanistan, whose conviction is overturned due to problems with the video evidence that was crucial at his trial. Once freed, Sean returns to his old life, but a night out with friends takes a turn for the worse, and he still soon finds himself embroiled in a incriminating video footage kind of furor, and he gets arrested. Freshly promoted detective who's like quite sexy and cute.
Oh, sexy and cute.
But she's like sexy and kind of like and smart and, you know, ooh. A young kid on the block. Rachel Carey is keen to get to the bottom of Sean's mysterious past, but soon finds that the truth can be simply a matter of perspective as she begins to uncover a complex conspiracy.
Didn't it not really end that well?
No, I really enjoyed it. I mean, it's a slight anticlimax, but still satisfying. It's really interesting. I won't spoil it, but it does deal with a lot of themes around CCTV and video footage.
Surveillance.
And how surveillance,
this
yes.
state that we're currently living
well,
in.
Well, correct. And I didn't realise London, particularly, the amount of cameras.
There are cameras everywhere.
Oh,
in London.
My God. Yes. And it really looks at that. So it's that kind of whole idea of the state is always watching and just that whole, like, the moral ambiguity. Of, you know, counterterrorism and what the lengths the government have to go to in order to, you know, keep everybody safe compared to civil liberties and freedom of speech and freedom of movement and how that intersects with technology. I think it's very, very interesting. And actually, living in the times that we're living, this extraordinary time of COVID-19 and the virus and stuff, and, you know, the moral and ethical questions around that. Anyway, so it delves into a lot of that kind of stuff. It's really interesting. And I really enjoyed it. It's also just like a rollicking good thriller. Gets you really absorbed.
It's very
takes
British.
Your mind off things. It's very British.
A lot of people going, Mom, what do you think of this evidence? And she's like, it's pretty good evidence.
Yeah.
But can it be trusted?
Who knows? Holiday Granger plays Rachel Carey, the DI, and she is brilliant. I highly recommend her performance. She's great. So I haven't actually seen her in anything else, but she was great.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Okay, that's mine. What's your second one?
I put my phone away in my pocket. I'm going to take it back out again
because
my computer battery is dying. But don't worry, I'm all over it already. Don't
I
even
see.
Stress. I can pad for time. This is a fun thing that I'm in, that I'm okay. going to recommend today.
Did I make sense?
Yeah, that made sense.
Okay, good.
It's perfect. It's about the state and what is social media or whatever.
My brain
looking at people.
My
cameras.
Brain at the moment feels like a bowl of scrambled
I don't know
eggs.
How you're going to get – well, after you've had the kid, hey, what excuses are you going to make, Claire, this time? You know what I mean? It's always an excuse.
Sleep deprivation.
Oh, my God. You can write off that for a few years, almost certainly.
Yeah, well, you've been writing off it for your whole bloody life, mate.
Nothing wrong with that, mate. That's how I live.
Continue. What's your little recommendation?
It's a YouTube channel called Up Is Not Jump. And I actually think you would really like this one. It's a dude. I think he's English, maybe. He isn't, but I think he is. He does do video game reviews, like he does an in-depth review of the history of Mario called Mario Maker 2 is an absolute nightmare.
Oh, that sounds right up my alley.
Yeah, but let
he
me
was
finish.
That good sarcasm.
That's
I'm
not
bad at
what
sarcasm.
I want to talk about because he also does this thing where he
annoys his wife constantly.
Well, yeah, she's in it. Yes, she often does a lot of the filming. But he also does things like he does a cooking show. This video in particular is called, there's a few of them, but Cooking with Gordon Ramsay is an absolute nightmare. And what he does, he plays a video of Gordon Ramsay making a beef Wellington and tries to make it along with him as he does it. And he's just befuddled by the whole thing. He's like, this isn't, it's just, it's very funny and really clever edits and fun jokes and just exasperated trying to keep up with the way that Gordon Ramsay is doing things and how that his doesn't match up with what Gordon Ramsay is doing. It's very, very funny. And he also does one recently with that's called Carpentry is a Nightmare, and he follows along with a builder who builds a shelf from scratch, just a freestanding set of shelves.
Yeah, which I'm always blown away by because I cannot build things.
And the way it starts is because the guy will suddenly be like, so what you want to do, you want to take you, and he'll just name some very specific woodworking tool and pull it out. And he's like, I don't have that. What do you like? He just jumps straight into these really specific woodworking tools. And it's, again, he's really exasperated. And just the whole thing coming together at the end is really quite funny. So it's called Up Is Not Jump. It's a YouTube channel.
It's very good. Name too.
And it's different. It's like uplifting. And if you're like the state of the world, you don't have to worry about that for the 15 minutes of these videos.
And that's what we all want.
That's all we want.
Things that are dumb.
Yeah,
and
I agree.
Take our mind off stuff. That sounds awesome.
It is really
awesome. That sounds much better than the terrible cooking videos I've been putting up on Instagram.
Oh, here we go. Subtle plug. Appreciate it, Claire. Well done.
They're really
bad. You want to talk about it?
Yeah, all right. So my Instagram account is at Claire Tonti. I don't really know what I'm doing with social media. I'm not good at it. Can't film myself properly. And I'm terribly pregnant, so I look terribly horrible in the videos. But that is not the point, because I am a free, untamed woman and I do not care for society's beauty expectations.
She says as she's tethered to the kitchen.
No, I choose to be there. It's my happy place. I like it there. It's nice and there's nothing to worry about in there. Anyway, other than cutting myself, which I nearly did in this week's video.
Oh my God, you cut yourself every goddamn day. Yeah.
I know. Thank you for filming. This week, no problem. I tried to make a bee sting cake. Oh, mate, you have to go and watch the video, but probably don't. It's not that exciting. However, what a bloody disaster. And you ate a lot of it, and I'm worried you're going to get a sore tum-tum.
Yes, that's entirely possible. But look, I think it's important you're out there, you're trying new things. That's really cool.
I'm giving it a burl, Sherl.
Giving it a burl, Sherl.
One day I'll learn how to edit and make better videos. Nah, but right now, this is the only content I know.
I didn't really learn to edit, and I'm fine. I'm doing all right, so don't stress.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, it's all self-taught, isn't it?
I'm a very intelligent man. You can tell by the way I do this.
Ah, the classic James. That's why I ended up married to you. Sorry, pregnancy reflux.
Yeah, it was in our vows.
It was. I said, please do the I liked it. My actual recommendation, not my terrible videos on
Don't tell your video short. I think they're great.
Thank you. That's because you filmed them.
Even our friends were like, I was really invested in the time you cleaned that blue pot.
Yeah, well, your mates, you had... Oh, which is something that's really nice. You had a video call with all your mates on Friday night. And a few cheeky whiskeys.
Yeah, just a couple, mate. Don't even worry about it.
Talking to all your matos.
Yeah.
Yeah, and one of your mates who I wouldn't have expected was really invested in me cleaning my blue pot. That is a really satisfying video, though, because I learned how to use bicarb.
Yes.
And it just cleaned the black stuff off my blue pot that I love. Hilarious. Oh, God. People are real desperate for content. I really appreciate him watching
Yeah, exactly.
It. Okay.
Good on you, mate.
Good on you, mate. Who knew that one day I would be super prego cleaning a blue pot for the internet?
Me.
Okay, so I have some more recommendations. This is Claire's segment called What the Fuck to Do with Your Kids When They're Home and They're Annoying You All the Time. Done. Okay.
That's good.
No need to edit that. That was perfect.
That's great.
This is for little kids, so I would say kids probably under 7.
Under 7 but over 10. Got it.
Over 10. Maybe under 7, over 2.
Good.
Under 2, mate, all bets are off. Put them in a playpen and hope for the best.
Under 2, you know what they're doing? Doing a poo,
doing
mate.
A I was going to say that. Anyway, this sounds really simple and obvious, but it's a really great tip. Something I did during teaching, but I was reminded of it by a website called 5-Minute Mum. And it's just really an awesome site for lots of cool ideas. But this particular idea stand out. I did it and it worked a treat. Put away all the kids' toys. Like put them all
put
away.
Them in the
bin. Put them all away. No, as much as you can, or put them in baskets, like tidy them up so the space is clear. Get them to do that the day before. Really put stuff away. I can't stress that more, because if you have a whole lot of stuff out, the more stuff that's out, the less they'll play with it. Which sounds counterintuitive, but it's often really true, because kids get overwhelmed and then they just say they're bored. Then you make a couple of things really special. So you set up like a rug, or I had a picnic rug that I put down, or a mat, something. You're laughing at me, but you just put something out that makes it special. And even better if they're watching telly or something at this point, so they're not really invested in what you're doing. And then you just put out a few of the special things. It might be like a couple of little animal toys, maybe a little bucket of water or a cute little bit of felt or like a little tree that you got or a ball, couple of books.
Yep.
This week I got an egg carton and I just cut the lid off it and then I stuck a couple of Duplo Lego characters in it.
Yeah.
And that was it. And they're not all toys that I didn't go out and buy. They were just in our cupboard, but I'd put everything else away.
Yeah.
And it was such a hit because what you want, the dream is, you want them to be independently playing and not bothering you so you can have a cup of tea.
Absolutely.
And also, but independent play is actually really, really important.
It's great for social and emotional development.
No, it actually is. Play
I, why
is
no?
Amazing. It
I'm
is,
agreeing
totally.
With you.
Carol Dweck has a really great TED talk about that too, about the importance of play, how vital it is for our kids. And I think particularly while we're all at home at the moment, it's a really challenging time to try and find ways for them to play and let them be free and don't feel guilty about it at all. Anyway, so when they disappear into that independent playland, and you don't have to be there for it.
They didn't even realize they've done
forgot.
It. They just
I know.
Slipped into
and,
it. Yeah.
And you can feel so good about yourself because you know that they're working through social and emotional stuff.
Yes.
They're using their imaginations. They're building oral language. They're using like their dexterity, building on their motor skills. Genius. So that's what I would do. Sometimes some kids might need you to like play for a little bit with them, kind of just like sitting on the floor modeling a few little things, particularly littler kids. But then once they go into the mystery land of play, you walk away. Make a cuppa.
Yeah, you're just like, oh, just give me a minute. And then you just step away.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the key is less is more.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
If you've got an infinite amount, not that we have an infinite amount of toys, but if you've got a lot of toys and a lot of baskets, they just kind of, they don't really rifle through them and then, or they're looking for very specific things and they can't find it.
Yeah, it's a little bit like when you have a really messy space, it's really hard to think clearly.
Yes.
Which is why this studio gives me heart palpitations, but you don't seem to care about it. It's just stuff everywhere. Whereas like if it's clear and just a couple of special things, I have done a whole lesson with little five-year-olds with a jug of water and a cup.
Yes.
And I just made it special. And they bloody loved it. But it's water. They see it every day. Love it.
You trick them. You trick them.
You trick them. Yeah, you trick them. Also, Play School, which is on the ABC, which is our Australian Broadcasting Corporation, did a really great coronavirus special for little kids, probably like 5 and under, maybe 6 and under. It was just really clear. It was created by a child psychologist so that it's very non-threatening, really just clear, honest language. So if you're struggling with how to talk to your kids about the virus, particularly younger kids, it's just really plain speak, lots of fun songs about washing your hands and but very clear and concise. So trying to – because sometimes kids – build up little stories in their head about what's actually going on.
Yes.
I also just watched it because I found it really quite comforting.
Well, it's quite straightforward because, I mean, it's a little bit better now, but our government was like, stay indoors, but not too much indoors and don't go near each other, but you can go near each other some of the time.
Yeah, there's some confusing messaging out there. So anyway, I thought that was really good. And Jacinda Ardern also did a press conference. I always bang on about her. About how
great.
The Easter Bunny and the Tooth Fairy are essential services.
Which I think is outrageous. They are not essential services.
All right.
Ridiculous.
Oh,
you
anyway,
kidding me?
Really cute to
a
show
rabbit
your kids.
Throwing dirty
just
eggs in the garden.
Dirty eggs?
Going house
dirty?
To house.
I eat
sweeping up
eggs.
Germs on the way.
Oh,
I'm not even interested.
I'm living with the Grinch.
The Grinch of Easter.
He's the Scrooge of Easter. He's the Scrooge of Corona. And also on that, she said, colour in some eggs and put them in the window.
Yes.
So kids can go on an Easter egg hunt. We've got a teddy bear hunt going on around our neighbourhood.
That's right.
Where, and I think a lot of people are doing this all over the world, which is really beautiful, putting teddy bears in their windows for kids to find when they go on their government-sanctioned exercise walks.
Yeah,
so
definitely.
There you go. That's something fun to do. Do you have anything else to recommend?
I think the most important thing is that everybody remember that we'll all get through this. Some people are panicking that this is going to become the status quo for the rest of our lives.
Okay.
But at the very least, it's going to last until
here
the end of the year. Bearing in mind, it's not even May yet. So just don't panic.
Anyway. All right, he's stalling. He's got nothing else.
I don't, but I do have a review because you can actually review the show. You just do it right now.
I have one more recommendation then.
Oh, you can do that then. You
can do
it.
Can I do that? Can I really recommend something on my own show?
That's right.
Okay, two things. I got a couple of recipes. One is a pumpkin scone recipe from my great aunt Jo that is on Instagram at Claire20. And it's really cute. She, her family collated all these recipes in this recipe book after she passed away. She was just like a really great old lady. And the pumpkin scone recipe is delicious. And I've made it a couple of times and it's, you know, idiot proof, really easy and awesome. And the other thing I made this week was from Tanya Ramsey. It's funny you should talk about Gordon Ramsay. Tanya Ramsey, who is married to Gordon Ramsay, she did this cookbook that I found like in a bargain basket in a chemist one like years ago. And it's just called Homemade. And it's really, it's just a great book. There's so many good recipes from that. I've already recommended one of them, which is my lentil soup that you love, my spicy lentil soup.
I do love the lentil soup.
Yeah, that's really good. And this week I made sweet potato and carrot soup, which I like to call orange soup. And it was so delicious and yum. It was really, really good. So I might put that on my Instagrams too. Actually, I think I already have.
You've been doing a lot of cooking. I gotta feel like I gotta do more cooking. I haven't been doing that much cooking lately.
No, because it's a stress relief for me.
Oh, cool.
One other thing I would recommend as well before you read the review, James. Yes. Have to say. God. You gotta have a good cry, mate.
Nah, I'm not doing it. I'm stoic. I'm Let one of those it out. Guys.
Feel all the feelings. Because feelings are for feelings.
No, I'm one of these guys.
Oh, you're famous. Hmm. I'm serious. I had a really good cry last night and I feel so much better today.
That's great. Well, I didn't have a cry and I feel terrible. So I don't know what that says about me.
Yeah, that's because you got to cry. I just think this is a bit of scary times at the moment. Nothing wrong with a good cry, mate. Just let it all out. A cry mate? Mate. A cry mate. A crying mate.
Primate.
A crying primate.
Primates. Matt Stewart.
Hug a crying chimpanzee.
Don't. They'll bite you.
Will
they?
You
think they're fun. They're not. Yeah, they're mean.
Yeah, actually they are. They eat each other too.
They eat each other. They eat
really
people.
Do.
They'll tear your face off.
We went hunting them. Well, not hunting them. We didn't kill anyone. We just like went
them.
Walking through
we
the jungle.
Them
look,
to the jungle.
We tracked them.
It was really
That's
cool.
That's what we're tracking. It was really cool.
There was one that had one hand and the reason that one hand because it got caught in a poaching trap. And what happened though, the poachers couldn't get anywhere near it and all the people, so they were trying to like release this, but the community, they circled around this particular chimpanzee so that they wouldn't let anybody near it so they could cut it free of this trap. And they were bringing it food. They were bringing this chimpanzee food because
Here
in the
goes.
Community
Is
it was one of the chimpanzees
the
that they were looking after. They weren't eating each other. And anyway, eventually the hand kind of withered and dropped off and the chimpanzee escaped. So this chimpanzee's just running around the forest with one hand now. He's still out there. What's he up to? He's probably dead now. But what's he up to? He's probably dead for the one hand
Are
thing.
Are you done now?
That's crazy, right? That's community.
What? If you That's got, community.
It is because they could have left that chimpanzee or hit it in the head with a rock. Who knows?
They could have done many things. All right. You're done with your boring story.
This wasn't a boring story. It was an exciting story at the time. And also they told another story of how one of the trackers that they had, they brought them into work because it's a conservation thing. It's not for shooting. But this guy used to poach chimpanzees.
Okay, enough.
Listen, and they recognized him and he realized that they couldn't have him work there because they recognized his face from even years ago. Years ago, listen. And so he couldn't work there because they recognized him as the threat that he used to be, even though he wasn't there to poach animals anymore. He only used to do it to feed his family.
You know that I was there.
I'm telling the listeners, you're not the only one who listens to this. Even Collings listens to it.
Yeah, he does, the poor, long-suffering
If you want to review the show, you can. You just do it in app. This is what Wamas Kalina says. I want the podcast dog to have his own show, but this will do it to her, but we appreciate that. And it's a 5-star review. Just in app, it's as easy as that. It said, I enjoy hearing James lose his mind as the world falls apart around him.
Yeah, you can tell he's really teetering on the brink.
All you need is a good cry and a chimpanzee story and a cigarette and you're back out there. Don't even worry about it, mate.
A whiskey with your mates while they talk about your wife's
pot. Yeah. Okay, what's next?
That's a cooking utensil, guys. I'm not smoking any doobies anywhere.
Any doobies? You don't sound like somebody
Not at the
doobies.
Moment.
Yeah. I'm going to get on it when I'm retired. I'm just going to be a massive bong head.
With long grey hair.
Yep, exactly.
James has been threatening to grow his hair since the minute that I met him. When he had a Beatles haircut with a red streak.
I'm going to do it. I'm going to grow my hair
Side note, James used to dye his hair shiny, shiny black and then with a red streak in it and it was long. It was like shoulder length.
It was not shoulder
awful.
Length.
Awful. It was the world's worst haircut.
Yeah, look, if we're talking world's worst haircut, why don't we talk about the fringe that you had that you cut to your own head?
Well,
when
it
we
can't
met.
Have been that bad because you bloody kissed me.
Well, I was about to say, it can't have been that bad for you because we're married. Sucked in. And I'm growing my hair back again.
No, but I knew that I could fix your hair.
And I knew that one day I'd trap you in the kitchen.
What?
All right.
Oh, Lord.
You got any recommendations for people?
It's slid into madness. Okay, yes, I do. I have a lovely email. You can email the show at suggestiblepod@gmail.com. You can also follow us at suggestiblepod on Instagram.
Easy.
Not
that
I've been posting very much, but I should be. And on Facebook and the Twitters. Hi, James and Claire. This is from Hugh Rivet Karnak.
Ooh, great name,
I love
Hugh.
A hyphenated
great name.
Name. Yeah. Thanks for a great podcast. You are welcome, Hugh. I have a suggestion for these times of lockdown. Wild Earth on YouTube. Ooh, twice daily live safari drives on two reserves in South Africa near the Kruger National Park. Amazing to follow the big and little dive while being, oh, live. I think he means live. While being very educational at the same time. Evening drives could be tricky with your Melbourne time, but you can try and make it work. Thanks again for the podcast, especially James, the more successful one. Oh, thanks.
That's right.
You. No, really, that sounds really cool. Wild
that does
Earth
sound
on
really
YouTube.
Good. Yeah.
Correct. I also have another recommendation that I forgot to sneak in. We have got a couple of new shows that have popped up in the Planet Broadcasting Network, which is what we run currently.
Oh, yeah.
We do. We've got lots of extra shows in there. So if you're looking for extra content after obviously this one and the Weekly Planet, there's three new ones. Obviously, you know, there are ones that we love, like Do Go On, brilliant. Lots and lots of other shows. You can check them out
the
at
planetbroadcasting.com. Just Do Go On.
No, but I wanted to talk about three new ones, or relatively new.
Sure.
One is Only Wrong Answers with Kate McClellan and Kate McCarthy. They're hilarious comedians from Melbourne.
People might know them from Get Crackin'.
Get Crackin', yes, or their YouTube show, which is also really good.
Terrific stuff.
Which is The Cooking Show, pretty sure it's called.
Catering
Great.
Show.
Anyway, they
the
have
show.
Got, yeah, The Catering Show, that's right. They've got a podcast called Only Wrong Answers. Also, Hat Jam. I've talked about this before. It's a musical show. It's by Cav Temperley, who used to sing with Eskimo Joe.
That's
my
right.
Brain just went crazy. He still sings with Eskimo Joe. Anyway, it's a great show and it's really interesting. He talks all about songwriting. So if you've ever wanted to write a song.
I have.
He talks to the most recent episode is with Ben Lee.
Ben Lee, people might
musician
know
Ben
cigarettes
Lee.
Will kill you.
And apparently
you.
They take mushrooms halfway through because they were in LA and Ben Lee was being all musician-y.
Oh, my God.
I know. So I think it all derails a little bit, but it should be interesting. Listen, that's Hat Jam. And the last one I want to talk about, which I'm really excited about, is called Time to Die.
Yeah.
Yeah, by a lovely friend of ours, Tom Whitty, hosted by Ben Russell,
and
who
Tom
you may
Whitty.
Know from many things around the traps.
That's right.
And
the
it's,
Grub, also Gamey Game Game, a bunch of other
yes,
stuff.
Yes, yeah. Many other things. Do you want to explain the premise, James?
Basically, I've talked about this recently on the Weekly Planet, but essentially these two sit down and they bring in two comedians and each of the comedians have to write the other one about 3 to 4 minutes of stand-up, but the stand-up is abysmal. And they have to go up and then sell these terrible jokes at a live comedy event. And it's the idea is that whoever kind of gets the most laughs, without changing it, you just kind of have to do it
you
as
is. You have to
is.
Read the other comedians.
You can make it your own, like with your own
jokes.
Cadences and pauses and things
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, but you have to read it.
Yeah, and it's just fascinating. And kind of also liberating for some comedians and also absolutely
soul-crushing.
Yeah, so it starts with like where they discuss what their kind of direction they're going with and what kind of comedian they are and they listen to, you hear like a little bit of the actual stand-up and then you go out to the clubs and you hear them actually do the performance after that. And then they interview them directly after. They're just like, oh, my God, that was an absolute train wreck. Or some of them are like, oh, that wasn't actually as bad as I thought it was going to be and whatever. But, yeah, it's great and you should listen to it. There's three that are coming out, but then it'll be there's a little bit of a pause. There's because
which is a shame. I know because it's really awesome, and there will be once things are back
definitely.
And rolling.
Yeah.
But it's really worth listening. There's a new episode coming out this week.
Mm.
Go check it out. Time to Die.
That's right.
Unfortunate title.
No, perfect title.
Totally perfect.
You get those clicks, man. It's
get those
title.
Clicks. All right, we've been Suggestible Pod. You can find us on all the places at our Suggestible Pod. And now we're going to descend into madness.
I'm going to keep editing.
Good for you.
Feels good to
get out there, James.
My job, whatever this is, feels good.
Feels good?
Yes. All right, you on a bed? What are you doing?
I don't know. I'll hang around.
You should watch that rebooted show before you go to bed. It's good.
Yeah, right.
I mean, trying to get you to watch
it. Tell me what to do, mate.
Stop telling me what to do. What do you think of that?
No, never. That's my job in life because you would not know what to do.
That's very true. Okay, let's go. Let's go. Let's go.
Bye.
Ow!
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.